So come, let's give a huge round of applause as he preaches this morning.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. You may be seated. It's been a while. I think it's been about 18 months since I last preached, so I kind of feel out of practice. But thank you. Thank you so much for the encouragement. Okay, so before I start, I need to just address a few awkward elephants in the room. Yeah, because... here we go, indeed. Look, I've been sitting down nice and gently. I'm just a calm guy. And these preachers, week after week, want to send for me. I've not even done anything. I just want to address a few things before I get started. My brother Ayo, please. My Nigerian brother. These people are trying to drive a wedge between us. Yeah? It doesn't matter who's tall or who's taller. Yeah? All right? We're all the same before Christ. This tall Ayo, short Ayo thing is not... This can't run. Yeah? Because first of all, if we want to get into it, my first name's legally Daniel. Number two... I'm just saying. Two, you know how many Nigerians in the room? I guarantee I'm not the shortest Ayo in this church. Yeah? All you Nigerians that have been, ha, 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 ha. I know one of you, your middle name is Ayo as well. So let's not, yeah? Let's just, so for future reference, if any, whether it's Pastor Barry, Pastor Sarah, Pastor Sarah Jane, any of them start unnecessarily sending for me, especially if you're watching at home, I need you to use the hashtag, what did Ayo do to you? Because it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. Preachers, I'm going to help you out. No longer. I'm no longer sitting at the front. Because you know how intimidating it is sometimes when someone's preaching and they grab your eyes and you're like, oh, please don't look at me. Don't look at me. It's fine. I'll stop tempting you. I'll sit at the back. Because how you position yourself determines what you experience. Ooh. Save that for later. Save that for later. All right. So, number two, I know it's Mother's Day. I want to shout out my mum, I know you're watching at home. I love you, appreciate you. My mother-in-law as well, I know that you're watching at home. I love and appreciate these both amazing women. Both amazing women. They desperately seek God. Both criminal over-caterers as well. Criminal over-caterers, and I love them both for that. It's actually like egregious. My daughter had a birthday party. My mum came to cater for the 5,000. Mum, I don't have that many friends. Please, you don't have to keep adding. My mother-in-law, they had their 40th wedding anniversary last year, an amazing accomplishment for them. She made over 120 cakes. There were 12 of us at the party. I don't get it. 10 cakes per. Honestly, it's unnecessary. But honestly, it's just such an over... That spirit of just wanting to give and provide is such an overwhelming characteristic of God. And I just wanted to shout them out and say, both of you, thank you. I love you so much. And I can't wait to see you soon. Cool. So, for those of you that love a title, whether you're in the room or watching at home, my title is Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness. I know all the old Anglicans in the room are getting excited. But the title is Great is Thy Faithfulness. And I wanted to start at Exodus 34:6, which says, and he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the Lord, compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. Abounding in love and faithfulness. Now, if you've heard me preach before, you know I cannot preach without mentioning some kind of Hebrew word. So, that word faithfulness is the Hebrew word emet. Can you turn to your neighbor and say the word emet? Emet. Now, I've got the actual translation for it here. It says, emet is what conforms to reality in contrast to what is false. Which basically means the faithfulness of God stands as truth. The faithfulness of God stands in truth in the face of what lies the enemy tries to tell you. The faithfulness of God stands as truth in the face of whatever lies the enemy tries to tell you about the situation you're experiencing. So even when it seems dark, even when it seems hopelessness, the faithfulness of God stands as truth against it. That's not the truth. That's not what God has declared over you. His faithfulness declares his truth. And I really love what that word looks like in different contexts. So if you, for example, when it's applied to man, that word emet actually translates more as trustworthy or steady. So a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Barry was mentioning how the Israelites had a battle and Moses had to raise his hands and he had two people, I think it was Aaron and Hur, holding his hands up. And the word actually says that they were holding his hands emet. They were holding his hands steady so that they could see a victory. When they got to the promised land, they had to find leaders of emet. They had to find leaders that were trustworthy and stable. But what I love about when it comes to God, when it comes to the application of the word emet to God, that word faithfulness carries so much weight. It carries so much power. It's no longer a noun. It becomes a verb. It's faithfulness in doing. He is continually faithful. It's not just an adjective. It becomes more than that. He is constantly faithful. He is doing faithfulness to us to stand in the face of the lies, whatever the enemy wants to tell you about what you're experiencing each and every single day. Guess what? I've got the faithfulness of God standing before me as a mighty, mighty barrier to encourage me. Amen? However, There are often times that sometimes it feels like all hope is lost. And I get it. As Uncle Dan was saying earlier, whether it be during the pandemic or a diagnosis from the doctor or what a job situation might say, and you get to a point where you start saying, when did I start to forget? When did I start to forget? And I want to encourage some people here this morning that that's not an uncommon feeling. It's littered all throughout the Bible. In fact, I want to read something for you. It's a bit of a long scripture, but it will make sense in context. So it's Psalm 88, verse 1 to 18. And what if you may not know about the book of Psalms is that the book of Psalms is divided up basically into five different books. And when we get to book 3, this is kind of like the end. Chapter 88 to around about 90 is like the end of book 3 of the book of Psalms. And it gets to this place of hopelessness and despair. I'm going to read it out for you. Lord, you are the God who saves me day and night. I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I am overwhelmed with troubles and my life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all of your ways. You have taken me from my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape, and my eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirit rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness? Are all your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry out to you for help, Lord. In the morning with my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I have suffered and I've been close to death. I have borne your terrors and I am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me and your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood and they completely engulf me. You have taken me from friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend. All right. Lighten up. Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. I get it. It happens. It's my actual favorite part about that, as you read it, especially in the NIV, is that at the top of it, it says, for the director of music. This is meant to be a song. A song? It's giving emo. Remember like Evanescence, Wake Me Up Inside, that song from ages ago. I'm showing my age. But really, really dramatic emo song. And yet, that is where the writer of the psalm was. In the deepest, darkest depths. And I get it. I totally empathize. I've 100% been there, even during my time in this church. 100% get it. I remember, as Uncle Dan mentioned earlier, I'm a teacher. I'm actually an assistant head teacher now. Thanks. But 11 years ago, 11 years ago, I was diagnosed with depression and I had to take a year out. And I was kind of like on the road back to finding like a job and where I needed to go. And I was really, really struggling because I had to take the year out. Suddenly there was like this year gap on my CV and I couldn't get into a school to explain what happened. I knew that if I got into a school, I'd be able to explain it and everything would be fine. But the problem is, every time I sent in an application, there was this weird gap. And I was like, oh, this is really frustrating. And I was coming and I was really trying to have faith. And I was like, yeah, come on, let's build the faith up here. And I remember I was in church. I was here, it was back in the day when we used to do evening services. And we were praying, and then I got a word. I got a word in front of everyone, and the person was like, you know what, I really feel like your job is this job that you've been praying for, because everyone knew the journey I was on. The job you've been praying for is round the corner. Whole church said, amen. You know when you get a word and the whole church gasses you up, you're like, yeah. I'm telling you, I skipped home. I was like, yeah. I was like, let's go. I was ready. I was like, come on. I've been waiting for months. I'm going to see it. I'm 100% going to see it. I got home. I opened my laptop. I saw it. I saw an email. I was like, is it? Let's go. Let's go. Open. We regret to Guess what? I've never worked at that school, and I never will. But I remember... I live with my mate Nathan at the time, who used to come to this church, but he wasn't home yet, and I just sat there. And I thought, I didn't praise God in that moment. I'll be real. I was really angry, because I was like, God, you didn't have to do me like that. I could have taken the rejection. What actually hurt me was the encouragement at church 20 minutes before. If I came home, so I'd be like, oh, okay, another one. But this one, when I tell you my soul was, this is my story, I was there. I was ready. I was ready. And I got home to another rejection. I was like, God, you didn't have to do me like that. You didn't have to do it like that. That was painful. And I felt like verse 4 in that psalm. And I really like the Message version is even more dramatic. I'm going to read verse 4. Abandoned as already dead, one more body in the stack of corpses, not as much as a gravestone. That's how I felt. That's how I felt. I was like, I've been abandoned. I've just been chucked aside. And I was angry at God. And guess what? It's in that moment that the enemy's waiting for. That's when the enemy comes in. When you're in that place of despair, and he doesn't come in shouting, he just comes as a whisper. Just comes as a whisper. Is he really going to do it? Is he really going to do it? And you know why? You know why he comes in that moment? To cloud your judgment, to cloud what you see in front of you. Because if the enemy can stop you from seeing who you are, he can stop you from seeing who you're meant to become. I pray that this morning, that is not the portion of a single person in this room. Whether you're in the room, whether you're in the back serving, whether you're watching at home, may you never lose sight of who God has called you to be. Let no circumstance cloud you from the goodness of God. I get it. But my God reigns. My God reigns. And maybe you come through the other side, or maybe you're in the midst of it right now, but I want to give you a few things this morning to just help you get through that season, or whether you're a friend of someone. Because sometimes it gets really, really awkward when you're trying to counsel someone. And I want to give you some tools to be able to help counsel that person or to be able to counsel yourself. Can I do that for you this morning? Cool. Number one, know God. I don't just mean know of him. Lots of people can know of God. I mean know God. Know who he is. Know his face, not just his hand. Because if you are lost in the middle of complaining, in the middle of your struggle, in that moment, who knows him better? You or the enemy? Who knows the emet of God? If you're lost and clouded, do you really know the emet of God? Or does the enemy know it better? 2 Timothy 2:13. Let this be an encouragement to you. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot discern himself. What the enemy will want to do in that moment is to cloud your judgment, to confuse you. He knows better than to try and change God's opinion of you, so he tries to attack your opinion of him. No, no. Don't be vulnerable to that kind of attack. Use his faithfulness. Know his faithfulness. Psalm 89, verse 8 says, "Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you." Psalm 89, verse 14. "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you." Psalm 91, verse 1 to 4. "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty, because I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the foulest snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers and under his wings and find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield." When you know God, when you really know God, you know his faithfulness. You know his faithfulness endures. So step number one, know God. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Know God." Know God. Number two, obviously the worship leader is going to say this. Number two, praise God. Praise God. Can I get a praise God this morning? Come on. Praise God. Psalm 89 verse 1. "I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations." With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. Not just today, not just tomorrow, through all generations. That's how loud I'm going to sing. That's how continually I'm going to declare his faithfulness. That my children and my children's children will know that their grandfather, their great-great-grandfather served a living and faithful God. Amen. Psalm 89, verse 5. "The heavens praise your wonders, Lord, your faithfulness too in the assembly of the holy ones." We do it together. We praise God together because we get encouraged by that. Can you imagine with all of the faith in the room what the Lord can do? Let that not be a song. Let that be something true this morning. Can you actually imagine with all of the faith in the room what the Lord can do? Because guess what? Faith, praise is an expression of your faith. It offends your flesh. Your body doesn't want to, but your soul needs to. Your spirit longs to praise God. It offends the enemy. It offends the enemy. You've got to praise before it happens. Confuse the enemy. Let the enemy see and go, "What the heck is going on there? I don't understand." Your praise is going to confuse the enemy. Praise before it happens. Praise before it happens. When you buy a house, for people who are Gen Z or younger, buying a house means you used to be able to give money and purchase a property. Let me not get political this morning. But when you buy a house, you actually celebrate when you exchange contracts because you know it's going to happen. You celebrate at the exchange. You don't celebrate at the completion. You celebrate at the exchange. Praise is your spiritual exchange. Praise is the spiritual exchange that happens between you and your reality before you see the completion, because you know that it's going to happen. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Because you know what? When you praise, you build your faith. When we praise, your faith rises. And when you rise in faith, guess what? You rise in authority. Your authority, you're able to speak into situations and go, "No, excuse me. Actually, I know the God that I serve here." Your faith is the facilitator of your authority. Because I'm going to be real with you. How many times do we come to church and just benefit from the atmosphere someone else has created? We benefit from what the worship team has done, the amazing worship team that we had this morning, and they create that atmosphere, and you benefit from that. Or you might even benefit from the word that Pastor Barry, Pastor Sarah, Pastor Sarah Jane have been preaching. But you don't come with your own authority. And that's why when you go home, it doesn't hit the same. You're in the building, you've got it in the building, and you get home and you fall flat. You're at home in your bedroom going, praise the Lord, oh my soul. And it doesn't hit the same. It just doesn't hit the same. It doesn't rock you. Guess what? As a worship leader, I'm just going to say it. Some people like music more than they like praise and worship. They like how the song sounds. It sounds lovely. It's wonderful. It's just, oh, it's so good. I was in the room in the atmosphere. It's just, I was overwhelmed. Were you really listening? Were you just singing words? Or were you praising? Were you praising? Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Amen. Faith, you see, is an enduring walk. Day after day after day. It's more than a moment. It's not just a nice moment that you experience in church on a Sunday. It makes you feel nice. But my God is so much greater than a lovely, sweet moment. My God wants to walk with me, to encourage me every single day. My faith is an enduring walk. So I'll say it again. Can you imagine, with all the faith and the authority in the room, what the Lord can do? What the Lord can do. Amen. So that was number two. Praise God. Number three, remember God. Turn to your neighbor and say, remember God. I got this quote from Julius Caesar, actually, that says, it is easier to find men who will volunteer to die than to find those who are willing to endure pain with patience. How many of you are willing to endure pain in patience? I'm not all the time. I'm just going to be real with you. I don't have pastor next to my name so I can say that. I just, there are times where I'm like, Lord, allow me, please. Like, come on. Take this cup from me. I'm not on it, please. It's really, really difficult. It is really, really tough to be patient when it's painful. Really, really tough. When you're in the midst of it, you just want to be like, no, even Paul, he said, take this thorn from me 3 times. And what did God say? He said, look, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. If Paul can say 3 times, I think I can say 30. It's fine. Revelations 12:11 says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The blood of the Lamb was shed 2,000 years ago. That work is already done. But what's remaining? The word of our testimony. Let's daily share the word of our testimony to encourage each other. You know when you buy a new car and you get a specific type, don't you just start seeing that car everywhere on the road? It's everywhere. I remember before we bought our Hyundai, I was like, I've never even heard of this. Soon as I was like, it's everywhere. I thought I had an exclusive car. Meanwhile, everyone's got it. Everyone is scattered. It's the same thing with your testimony. When you start hearing stories of God's faithfulness, do you not start seeing it everywhere? You're like, wow, God, you're there as well. What, you're there? I didn't know you were doing this. I didn't know you were doing that. When you start overflowing with the goodness of God, you begin to see it everywhere. You can't escape it. It will find you. But guess what? You need to share it. You need to share the evidence of how God is working. Because even if it might not account to you in that moment, guess what? You're encouraging someone else. You're encouraging someone else. Your brain scientifically, science teacher by the way, your brain scientifically is wired to see patterns continually. God has built us to see evidence of his faithfulness again and again and again. It's not by accident. So you see the evidence of God's faithfulness everywhere you go. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when I come here this morning and say, remember when Abraham and Sarah longed for a child and they said they were too old, and an angel came directly to their house and told them that they were going to have a son, and they laughed in the angel's face and the son came anyway, same God. It's the same God. When David had to stand before Goliath and everyone was laughing at him and didn't quite understand how this small boy with a sling and 5 pebbles was going to slay the giant Goliath and how this was going to happen. and he killed him. Hit him in the head, chopped off his head. Same God. It's the same God. When Pastor Sarah needed money to start her business, and she didn't know where the money was going to come from, and it didn't make sense. And in the natural, it didn't make sense. And he came through. Guess what? Same God. Same God. When Pastor Sarah Jane was about to have her second baby, and the nurse was like, "You're not ready yet." And Uncle Dan put his hand behind her and said, "No, your waters are breaking now." And the water broke. Guess what? Same God. Same God. Same God. Even for me, when Becca and I were sowing in tears because we wanted a child for over 18 months, and it was difficult, and we went to go, oh, I don't want to start crying this morning, I'm going to keep talking. And it was difficult, and we went to see a doctor, and the doctor said, look, I don't really know what the situation is, but you need to go and see a fertility doctor. And we went to see a fertility doctor, and I remember we had the initial appointment, and I was praying in that moment. I was praying in that moment, look, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I just feel like this isn't what you have for us at all, at all. And then we came, because every January we have an anointing service, and we came, we knew, because Becca and I, December 31st, every year, we pray about what we want to see for the coming year. And we had prayed that this is what we want to see. This is going to be the year it happens. And we received our anointing on that Sunday. That evening, the week before we were meant to have our fun, we found out we were pregnant. You guess what? It's the same God again and again and again. No one can tell me that my God's faithfulness doesn't endure. No one can tell me my God is not immense. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. You know when we sing, I've seen you move the mountains, and I believe I see you do it again. You're good, and I've witnessed it. You save, and I've witnessed it. You're constant, and I've witnessed it. Let that not just be a song. Let that be the message of your hearts this morning, whether you're in the room or whether you're at home. We've witnessed it. I remember who God is. I remember who God is, and I'm able to see that in confirmation every single day. Amen? So what now? What now? Shout out to Josh. It's not a Sunday unless Josh gets a shout out, so. Faith is the response to God's ability. A couple of weeks ago, Josh had to do a preach, and I stole that. Faith is our response to God's ability. Just to let you know, Josh, I will pay you after the service. Lord, please forgive me. I'm not doing money exchange in church. He asked for it. If you want to come and flip tables, deal with him. But but this was stolen from his preach. Faith is our response to God's ability. How are we going to respond? Now that we know what he is able to do, that he is more than able, how are you going to respond? Sorry. How you respond determines what you're going to experience. I've already mentioned my mother-in-law. Every time, she loves catering. When it comes to Christmas, and we're going to her house for Christmas, what do I need to do? I need to fast for the month of December. It's I'm not being holy, I'm being tactical. It has to be done. Do I have to confirm with my mother-in-law, are you going to make 157 cakes? No, I know she's going to do it. Is there going to be four of us, but she's going to cater for 24? Of course, I know she's going to do it. I don't need to check with her, I just prepare. Am I having breakfast that morning? No. I don't want to block any blessing that comes down my stomach. So I make sure I'm prepared beforehand. What you do, how you live your life, how you live your life will prepare you for your blessing. So my question is, are you ready? Are you really ready? Are we just saying yes today? Because let me ask you a question. If God gave you what you've been asking for right now, he just said, bah, now, you've got it. Are you in a situation that you can handle it? Are you? Have you been praying for it? Have you been doing the work? Because guess what? Faith without works is, are you doing your works in the background to prepare you for what you have faith for? Are you? I have to ask myself that all the time. I'm believing for a second child at some point. Am I ready? What if God decides to bless me with twins? Am I ready? I don't know. My wife is like, we're not ready. We're ready in Jesus' name. If God decides to bless me with twins, am I ready? Have I put myself in a situation to be able to receive what God has in store for me? Is your position ready? Are you living life by what you're expecting or by what you're experiencing? Hello. I like to think of it as, but as I was preparing the speech, I got this image of like a relay race, because obviously I've been doing a lot of racing in my time. And you've got four, the laugh was unnecessary. It's actually a bit rude, if I'm being honest. Let's not, but it's fine, I'll continue. Rude. When you've got a relay race, you've got 4x100 meters, and you're on the last leg. The gun goes, bass, gone, 100. First person goes. And what are you doing whilst you're at leg 4? You're just watching. You've done all the training. You've set yourself up. What are you doing? You're watching. You're watching to see if what is happening is consistent for how you've trained. All right? So first leg to second leg. Then second leg to third leg. Now you need to switch on. You see the move coming and you need to get ready. Now what should you not do if you're, because obviously I'm an experienced sprinter. If I'm running this way, if I'm waiting to receive the baton, do I look this way? If I concentrate on what is behind me, I can't accelerate to what's in front of me. So what do I need to do? I need to get into position. Yeah, like this. Ready. Then, when I know they're getting closer, what do? I start moving towards. I'm moving that set of, in that direction. Do I sprint immediately? What do I need to wait for? You know, you've seen the relay, and this is when it fumbles. When they're running. And they go, now, and then hand it over. Sometimes you need to wait for a word. You wait for the right word so that you can receive and accelerate to where you're going. You don't go before you hear the word, because sometimes you try and do stuff in your own strength and then you end up flopping. You can see the goal when you get excited. No, you wait for the word. Who needs to hear a word this morning? How many of you need to hear a word? How many of you have actually tried to do something in your own strength and it didn't quite work? God, I thought you said I was going that way. Did you wait? Were you in position to receive the word? Or were you concentrating on your own thing? You need to be in a position to receive a word this morning. I pray that none of you miss that this morning. I want you to run towards the line. Run towards your goal. And how do we do that? How do we get ready to receive the word of God? Three things. You know God. You praise God. You remember God. And why do we do it? Because our God is a met. Our God is faithful. Can I pray with you this morning? Can I get a keyboard player as well? Let's rise to our feet. What's been really interesting this morning is that, especially during prep and then with Uncle Dan praying during the service, I've really been, the idea of restoration has been placed on my heart all week in terms of prepping for this. And I really want to pray this morning for two things. And to be able to declare God's faithfulness for those whose hearts have been broken. The word says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I know that I've been through it, and I know there's probably more than one person in here that have been hoping for something again and again. And like I said, I've been through it before. My heart yearns now. I don't just want one child, I want a whole family. And I know that, I know how that feels. I get it. But what encourages me is that the word emet, it stands for truth. right? Emet is also the root word for amen. Same root word. So when we get together and we pray, when we say amen, when we say amen, we are declaring God's faithfulness in the, against the face of the lies of what the enemy tells us about our reality. Amen is not just a word, it's a declaration. It's a statement of intent, it's a statement of truth. But I really feel this morning that there are some hearts that are scared. They're like, oh God, you know what? I don't know if I can actually have faith for this again. It's scary. I don't know if I want to be vulnerable like that again. And maybe you're not in the room, maybe you're at home. And I just want to encourage you that God's faithfulness never fails. Great is thy faithfulness. I had this picture of someone during the week that actually, they've kind of tried to hide their hurt as a defense mechanism. And they're walking around like, everything's fine. I'm okay. It's good. Meanwhile, behind this facade, you're hemorrhaging faith. It's just leaking over and over again. And whilst you might want to see people around you and encourage them, you've been hemorrhaging faith. And you're not even in a position to help someone else because you haven't been able to heal the hurt of the past. And what the Father wants to say to this morning is that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. And He wants to meet with you here this morning. He's not guaranteeing that it's going to look exactly how you want it to. What He's guaranteeing is that He's greater than the situation and can take you to a place further than what you even see for yourself. So we're going to sing I've Witnessed It in a sec. And during that last song, we've got an amazing prayer team at the front. If that's you, I want you to come forward and take a faith step. Meet with us and allow us to pray for you. God wants to do a tremendous work of restoration this morning. Secondly, with all eyes closed, one important thing I said at the beginning was just, it's important to know God. And maybe you're here this morning and you've been coming for a while and you're like, I get it. And I know of Him and I've heard all of these things that He can do, but I actually haven't seen it for myself. I know of God, but I don't know God. I don't know Him as my Father. I don't know Him as my friend. And I want to be able to experience His faithfulness, but I just feel like I can't because I don't know Him like that. If that's you this morning, just give me a sign by raising your hand so we can pray together. Wonderful. Thank you. All right, let's pray together. Just repeat after me. Lord God, thank you for your enduring love. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for loving me, even during times when I don't love myself. I invite you into my situation and allow you to move however you need to move. I declare your faithfulness over every part of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. As we go.